Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I hope you know the central message of the Christian faith. If you don't, here it is. God, in His love, 2,000 years ago, came down from heaven, became a human being. His name was Jesus. He was perfect. He never sinned. Therefore, He could pay for our sins. He goes to the cross, is punished for our sins so we could be forgiven before the Father. 3 days later, He rises from the dead. That is the central message of the Christian faith. When Jesus rose from the dead, His lady friends are going to the tomb to put perfume on His dead body because they didn't understand that He was going to rise from the dead. They get there, and the angel shows up, says, "He's risen. But ladies, go quickly and tell the disciples that He's risen from the dead." That's basically what we're going to look at this morning. How important it is to go quickly, and to tell people that Christ is risen. So this is an important message, so let's pray. Father, we want to pray for anyone watching this program that has not yet come to Jesus Christ, that they will do that soon, and that they would know the joy of their sins being forgiven and having a home in heaven. But Lord, for those of us who are Christians, help us see how urgent it is that we also go quickly and tell. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first word the angels said to the women on that resurrection morning, the first word is go. That means don't wait for them to come. The angel didn't say, "Ladies, go home. Have lunch." If anybody ever eventually asks you, "Is Jesus risen?" Oh, well, then tell them, yeah. No. You go. That means we don't wait for people to come. Many years ago, a missionary is sharing the gospel in China. A Chinaman converts to Christ. And he says to the missionary, "Oh, this is such wonderful news. How long ago was it that Jesus died for our sins and rose again?" And the missionary said, "That took place about 2,000 years ago." And the Chinaman says, "What? And you're just now getting to us? I wish my father could have heard this. I wish my grandfather could have heard this. Why did you take so long to come?" So the first word is go. My question for you is, are you going? When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus Christ? Or have you ever talked to someone about Jesus Christ? We are to go. S.D. Gordon told this story. Now, it's made up. It's not true. But here's the story that he made up. So Jesus rises from the dead, and he goes back to heaven. And the angel Gabriel meets him and says, "Oh, Master, the angels and I watched you from here. We saw down on earth how you died for the sins of mankind and then how you rose from the dead. Now, Jesus, how are you going to get that message out to the planet?" And Jesus said, "I have trained 12 men. I'm counting on them." "But what if they fail you? What if they don't go out?" And Jesus says, "I have no other plan. I'm counting on them." Christian, do you know that Jesus is counting on you to talk with your family, your friends, people at school, at work, in your culture? Our job is to go. I thought of, what's the best class I've ever had in my life? Because I've gone to school a lot. And I thought, well, maybe when I was 14, I took a typing class. I use it all the time. But that's not the most important. The most important class I ever took was, I was 20 years old, going to a Christian college, and I took a course on evangelism, how to share your faith with others. They made us go door to door, and they had us do children's evangelism and adult. And that by far was the best course I've ever taken because it taught me how to go. So the number one word is go. Next word, angel says, ladies, go quickly. And that's the next lesson. The word quickly means this is urgent. So there's a farmer who never goes to church. All of his neighbors go to church. But a new neighbor moves in and knocks on the door of the farmer and says, you know, I'm your neighbor down the way, and I thought I'd just come and introduce myself. And, oh, come in. And they're sitting around the table, and the new neighbor starts talking to the farmer about Jesus Christ. And the farmer said, now this is an interesting thing. There's not one of my neighbors who wouldn't run to tell me if one of my prized cattle were on the railroad tracks. But you're the first person in all these years to talk to me about my soul. I mean, Christian, do you know how urgent it is that we talk to people about Christ? I pray this regularly in the morning. God, use me to share you with somebody today. Like I've said before on this show, I pray that before I get on a plane. And I prayed that, Lord, put me next to someone. And I remember one year, I was flying to or from, I can't remember which, Europe. It's an 8-hour flight. So I prayed my prayer, Lord, put me next to someone that I can talk to about Christ. Well, the plane was packed except for one seat, the seat right next to me. And I kind of breathed easy, okay, I'll just be able to rest a little better. And so they closed the plane door, and we're about to take off, and I've never seen this, the announcement. Excuse me, we got to stop the, we got to open the door because somebody's running late. And they reopen the door to the plane. This tall, thin guy comes running in, sits right down next to me, and the plane takes off. And we start to talk. He's from Texas. He lives in Amsterdam. He's a homosexual. He has AIDS. And we talk for a while. He finds out I'm a pastor, and he says, well, I'm a Christian. And we talked for, I had a wonderful talk, difficult but wonderful. And finally, I had to bring it up. It was hard to bring up, but I said to him, well, you know, you say you're a Christian, and yet you're engaging in homosexual behavior, and the Bible says that's a sin. Do you ever struggle with how to reconcile all that? And he got quiet, and you could tell he did not like the question. And I shared with him, I mean, go to my website if you've never seen my story. My struggle in life has been this pull, this temptation toward homosexual same-sex attraction. But I said to him, I don't go there because the Bible says it's a sin. So I don't go there. And you know what he said? My mother's a Catholic, and my aunt is a born-again Christian, and they're always praying for my soul. And I thought, I bet they are. And I bet that's why you're sitting next to me for 8 hours. Well, you know, I don't know what he ever did with our discussion. Never saw him again. But everybody, it's urgent that we share the gospel with people. Look at, here's a lady that told me, she works in a building that's like a block away from an abortion clinic. And she said, about 20 times people have walked in the door and said, can you direct me to the abortion clinic? And she's a Christian, and she says, no, I can't tell you where the abortion clinic is. But now her plan is to start giving out salvation pamphlets to bring people to Christ. Next word, go. Quickly, next word, the angel said to the ladies, and tell. And the word tell means actions are not enough. I'll tell you something I don't buy. Well, Pastor Brock, I don't need to tell people about Jesus. Just by the way I live my life, they know who Jesus is. Look, maybe you're holier than I am, but I've never had anybody come up and say, Pastor Brock, you are so wonderful. You're just by the way you live your life, I can glean that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. No, they can't. You've got to tell it. I mean, let's say that you have in your pocket, you put it in your pocket, a miracle cure for cancer. You put it in your pocket, you go to the hospital, you go to the oncology ward, and you go from patient to patient. And you're nice to those cancer victims. You fluff their pillows. You tell them stories. You know, but you never tell them that in your pocket, you've got the cure for cancer. See, listen, it's not enough to be nice to people. Of course we're nice, we're loving, we got to live our faith. But if you never tell anybody, you're not helping them. Alexander Duff was a missionary to India, and one morning he's preaching to a church in Scotland on the importance of missions to India. While he's preaching in the pulpit, he collapses. They rush him down into the lobby of the church. He's lying there on the floor, and finally he comes to, and he says, "Where am I?" "Well, you're preaching here in Scotland." "Oh yeah, I was preaching on missions. Get me back into the pulpit." They said, "We can't put you back in the pulpit. You'll die if you get back in the pulpit." He said, "You don't understand. I'll die if I don't get back in the pulpit." I mean, have you come to the point where if you can't talk with people about Jesus, it kind of kills you? That's why we're on the planet. Go quickly and tell. Now the next question, tell who? Who are we to tell? Well, the angel says, ladies, go quickly and tell the disciples. That's the next lesson. We are to tell the disciples. You know, normally think we're supposed to tell unbelievers about Christ, and we are. But in this verse, the ladies are supposed to go tell the disciples. Why? Because we disciples, we Christians, doubt, we forget. That's why I need to, everybody watching this show, I hope you're in a good church, because we need to be around Christian people who will remind us, remember, Jesus is risen from the dead. You're going to get through this. And even if you die, Jesus will meet you on the other side. So remember, Jesus is risen from the dead. We need to hear that regularly from our Christian brothers and sisters. I love the old hymn, "I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love." If you're not in a church, find a good Bible preaching church. Go every week. And we're supposed to tell not just unbelievers. We're supposed to tell each other that Christ is risen. All right, so go quickly and tell who? The disciples. Next, tell what? What are we supposed to tell? And the angel said that Jesus is risen from the dead. Let me explain this. This is very important. There are two main facts to the Christian faith. Jesus died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. That is what we are to tell people so they can be saved. I mean, if I was on an airplane and we're about to go down in flames and they give me the microphone, I'm not going to talk about Adam and Eve or Jonah and the whale or Noah and the ark. I'm going to go right to, we're sinners. Christ died for your sins, rose from the dead. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's what we're to tell people, that Christ is risen. When I was a senior in college, after I had taken that evangelism course, I got a phone call from a buddy, Dean, and he said, "Tom, some atheists from the University of Minnesota, philosophy majors, they want some Christians to come over and present the gospel so they can argue with us." He said, "I don't want to go alone. Would you go with me?" And I thought, ooh, okay. And so we drove across town, and I remember we sat in the car, and we prayed, Lord, just help us stick to the gospel. Help us not get lost in unimportant stuff. Help us stick to the gospel. So we went up, rang the doorbell, walked in, I don't know, maybe six guys there. You could kind of smell the marijuana around the house. And my buddy Dean got up, gave a very simple presentation. The Bible says we're all sinners. We deserve God's judgment, but God loved us. He became a human being in Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead. Believe in him and you'll be saved. And then one of the atheists said, but do you really expect us to believe that Noah got two of every species into one big boat? I mean, that's impossible. Do you really expect us to believe that? And my buddy Dean said, I believe God can do that. He created the universe, but you don't have to believe in Noah and the ark to be saved. What you need to believe in are two things. Christ died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. Another atheist, well, but Jonah being in the belly of a fish for 3 days, the gastric juices would have killed him. There's no way. And I popped up. I said, well, you know, I believe God can keep somebody alive for 3 days in a fish if he wants, but you don't have to believe in Jonah and the fish to be saved. What you need to believe in to be saved is Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Well, you know, you could kind of feel in the room it was getting to these guys. And I don't know what they ever did with it. We never saw them again. But go quickly and tell two things. Christ died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And I'm just going to close with one more thought. It's our job to tell. It's God's job to convert. It's our job to tell. It's God's job to convert. I mean, I've learned this years ago. My internship, I was a practice preacher at Valparaiso University. Well, they asked me to come back a year later and preach again, and so I did. And if I may say so, it was one of my better sermons. And a student had come up before the service and said, now Pastor Tom really preached the gospel because I've got my atheist friend that I brought tonight. So I got up and preached, and I just felt it was really hitting. And afterwards, I said to the young man, well, what'd your atheist friend say? And he said, well, he looked at me and said, eh, I don't believe any of that stuff. And I learned what Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, said many years ago. Successful witnessing is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. So everybody, go. Don't wait for them to come. Go, and go quickly, because this is urgent. And tell. It's not enough to live it. You got to talk to people about Jesus. Tell who? The disciples and everybody. What? That Christ has died for our sins. He has risen from the dead. I just want to challenge you. Would you this week pray about this and try to share Christ, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead, with at least one other person? Would you do that? Pray about it today. Lord, would you use me between today and next week to share you with one other person? Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, can you be a Christian and not believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead?
I think the answer is no. Now, Mona, I think there are people, for instance, who cannot, Christian people, they believe Christ died for their sins, rose from the dead, but for some reason they can't bring themselves to believe in Noah and the ark. Are they damned? No. The Bible never says, believe in Noah and the ark and thou shalt be saved. So I don't think they're right. God can do the ark, and he did. But can you doubt that Christ rose from the dead and be saved? The answer to that is no. And we get this from 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, I'm going to tell you how you're saved by believing in Christ's death for your sins and a resurrection from the dead. And if you deny either of those, you're not a believer. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Mona, it bothered me when I was still back in the liberal ELCA branch of Lutheranism. Our bishop brought in radical scholar Marcus Borg, an Episcopal scholar who is now dead. And Marcus Borg did not believe Jesus rose from the dead. And that's who the bishop brought in to do our pastor's conference. And I wrote the bishop, do we want to promote false teaching?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you do have to believe Christ rose to be saved. One more thing on this. So, I've shared this before on the show, but one snowy Sunday morning, I'm driving to my good biblical Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. I get there and it snowed in, so it's closed. I turn the car around and I pass a liberal ELCA Lutheran Church, which is open that day. So I thought, okay, I'll go worship there. The pastor got up. My sermon today is on Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he said, but what if you don't confess with your lips Jesus is Lord? And what if you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Does that mean you will not be saved? And the pastor said, not necessarily. And I felt like standing up and screaming. I didn't. Yes, necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because Romans 10, 1 Corinthians 15 says, the basic of the gospel is Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. You deny that, you've denied the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Amen. Here's a letter from a viewer. I have a friend I have witnessed to, but he is not interested. Am I supposed to keep sharing Christ with him?
If she shared it and he doesn't want to hear it anymore, I don't think you're obligated to bring it up. I mean, Jesus said to the disciples, you know, you're going to go town to town sharing the gospel. If they won't hear you after you've shared it with them, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town.
Yeah.
So there are certain people that I have shared the gospel with, and I don't necessarily do that anymore because they've heard it. But I have what I do for pray, Lord, they're not listening to me. Would you send them somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're obligated to do that over and over.
I do the same thing. Lord, open their heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I get nervous when I think of talking to people about Jesus, and I rarely do it. What can help me be a bolder believer?
Yeah. Well, you pray for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses of me. And if you remember, before Pentecost, that's the day the Holy Spirit came down on the church, Peter and some of the disciples were kind of wimps. You know, they denied Christ and ran away. Once they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they were bold witnesses ready to die for Christ. So I think one thing we do, if you're going to go to a family dinner or see a friend or whatever, and you really want to share the gospel, pray for the Holy Spirit. God, fill with your Holy Spirit. If you want it to come out of my mouth, get it out.
And pray for boldness.
Pray for boldness. Pray for a door. Mm-hmm. Sometimes God will open a door in a conversation where it's really easy to share the gospel. So, and then the other thing I always have some tracts in your pocket. I carry these all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just give them out to people, and it's the whole gospel. You can go to crossway.org or just Google Crossway Tracts, and you got all kinds of good Christian tracts that you can hand out to people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the Bible very well, and what do I do if someone asks me a question? I don't know.
I think you just say, you know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. But don't let the fact that you don't know everything in the Bible, which I don't either, keep you from opening your mouth. You know, I think that can be the devil trying to shame you and, hey, you're not smart enough to share the gospel. And, well, you just say, look, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. But don't let it keep you from sharing the gospel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have led a sinful life, and I think, who am I to tell another person about Christ?
Yeah. That's another thing that the devil uses, our own sinfulness and guilt. Well, who am I to tell them about Christ when I've had the life I've led? But I love this definition of evangelism. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Hmm.
Evangelism is one beggar sinner telling another beggar sinner where to find the bread of life. And so I don't let the fact, I mean, now and then I've met a parent, well, you know, I had sex before marriage. Who am I to tell my kids not to have sex?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because you blew it doesn't mean you don't talk to your kids about it. So there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from a viewer. I have a friend from my past who was married to a man, had two children. Later, she divorced. In her 50s, she came out as gay and was married to a woman. She reconnected with me. I have no idea how to approach this subject with her. I don't know how to prepare myself to tell the truth of Scripture without getting into an argument that goes nowhere.
Mm-hmm. So for this one, like, let's say they're going to go out to lunch. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would do. I'd pray, Lord, help. If I'm supposed to share with her about this, get it out of my mouth. If it's not the right time, keep it in my mouth. I wrote her and I said, you can tell her to go to my website. And here's a pastor that's got his testimony at pastorstudy.org, how he has had this struggle in his life, mm-hmm. but for the sake of Christ, he doesn't go that direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she won't listen to her, you can at least give a website, pastorstudy.org, where we talk about all this. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Great idea.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, will we all be on the same level? I can't believe I would be on the same level as the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm. Every Christian gets into heaven only by the grace of God, mm-hmm. only by what Christ did on the cross. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle teaches there are different rewards. Some Christians go into heaven with great rewards. Others go in, but they lose their reward that they would have had they lived for Christ. So there will be different degrees of reward in heaven, but we're saved by grace.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew an old retired Lutheran pastor who believed in replacement theology, that God has now replaced the Jews with the church, and now the church are the people of God. He said that God had canceled his covenant with Israel after they chased after other gods. I said that Israel may have broken their covenant, but that God never does. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. All his followers were Jews. I believe also that God is not finished with the Jews. Your thoughts?
Well, he's right and he's wrong. He's right that the new people of God are the New Testament Christians because the Jews did reject Christ. Mm-hmm. So he's partly right. But does that mean that God has no future for the Jews? Absolutely not. Read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. And Paul teaches that after the Gentiles, the nations, the non-Jews come in, there will be a conversion of Jews to Christ mm-hmm. before the second coming. So, Mona, if there's a Jew who dies not believing in Christ, I don't think they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there is teaching in the New Testament that once the Gentiles, fullness of the Gentiles come in, then the Jews, many, many Jews, will come to Christ. Okay. That's Romans 9, 10, and 11. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in. If you would go to pastorstudy.org, you can watch all of our TV shows there for free anytime. If the Lord nudges you to help us stay on the air, you can support us there, or you'll see an address coming up. And thanks. And
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.